If you're going to follow me in your Bibles this morning, and I pray that most of you will, all of you, in fact, turn in them, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter number 6. I want to read this morning a very familiar passage of Scripture, and then I want to zero in on one specific instruction which is there and amplify and elaborate on it some. It is something that the Lord has been showing me in recent days, and yes, I guess I should say even in recent weeks, and I felt impressed to minister to you as well this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning to read in the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, or as another translation says, wicked spirits in the heavenly realms. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, or the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul is writing a final thought to this church at Ephesus. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. This final exhortation, or this final word of encouragement and strengthening. And then he goes on to describe what most have come to call the armor of God, that we are to put on the armor of God. And he listed from the helmet of salvation and through the breastplate of righteousness and girding about our loins with the belt of truth and having upon our feet the gospel of the preparation of peace, always ready to declare the truth of God's word, carrying a shield, which is faith, which prevents the fiery darts of the wicked one from attaching themselves to us or actually penetrating our outer defenses, and taking an offensive weapon, which is the sword of the Spirit or the Word of God, by which we do battle against this evil one. God has given us armor, and it is His intention that we should have victory in this wrestling match with Satan. The Scripture tells us in the 11th verse that the devil is a wily foe. And further, we're told that it is the desire of God in verse 11 that we should be able to stand against his wiles, against his tricks, against his deceptions, against his deceits, and against his open frontal attacks. We should be able to stand. Now, what I want to talk to you about this morning is standing. And I want to make this one very simple and very important, I think, point. And that is, God does not require us to change the circumstances or solve the problems. That's His doing. That's His area. I do not find in the Word anywhere the command that we're to change the circumstances or to solve the problems. It is true that in this life we are going to wrestle. Not against flesh and blood, not against other people, but the powers and the principalities and the darkness rulers that are working behind these forces that come against our lives, they are authored and initiated by Satan himself. We must understand that he hates us. He desires to destroy us in any way he can. He'd like to kill us physically. Being unable to do that, he'd like to kill us emotionally and psychologically, and he'd like to also destroy us spiritually. He'd like to separate us from God, and he'd like to do us in. Anything that you have going in your life that is a blessing from God, he would like to steal. Jesus said the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But he said, I am come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. It strikes me as very, what is the word I'm looking for, not gratifying, but it eases me. Can I say it that way? It eases me not to have the responsibility to solve the problems that come into my life. It eases me not to have the responsibility before God to change the circumstances, although there are cases where I can change the circumstances, and so can you. And there are situations where we can alter the circumstances that surround us. But that's not our responsibility. The responsibility God has given us and the command that he's given us and the promise that he's given us is that we can stand in the midst of it. Now look at this passage in verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. God wants us to stand. And there is an ability in God that will permit, no, it will assure that we will stand. In verse number 13 and 14, we're told once again to take the armor of God, all of it, that ye may be able, here's that phrase again, to withstand or to stand against. In what kind of a day? In the evil day. What does that reference? It references the attacks of the devil against you. It refers to the enemy's assault against your life, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, in your family, in all of the circumstances of your life. As the evil day comes, as the day arrives when the devil says, this is your day, and I'm going to knock you down today. I'm going to move you today. I'm going to cause you not to stand. I'm going to go over you like a steamroller. In that day, God's word says that there is a provision for us that we can withstand that steamroller when it comes. And having done all, to do what? Stand. Verse 14, here is now the command. We are told not only is there an ability to stand, but inasmuch as God has made a way for us to stand, now he quite rightly, I think, requires us to stand. And here's the command. Stand, therefore. And then he instructs us on the armor and how to take it and put it on and what the pieces of that armor are. What does it mean to stand? I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of the Psalms and to the 46th. And we'll examine it together. This helps me to understand what God expects of me and what he has enabled me to do when the devil is attacking. When I'm in a wrestling match, this match is not a three-fall match. The Word of God indicates that there doesn't need to be any takedowns in this match. That I can stand from the beginning until the end. And as a matter of fact, that's what the Lord desires for me and wants for me. Now in the 46th Psalm, we hear the Psalm writer, it doesn't indicate that it's David here in this case. Apparently someone else has written this Psalm. But he is referencing the kind of circumstances that we're talking about this morning. God is our refuge and strength. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. God's our strength. a very present help in trouble. What would be another word for trouble? The evil day. He's a present help for us in the evil day. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the water thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. Now let's stop right there. To stand, beloved, means to not be moved. We sing the song, I shall not be, I shall not be moved. What does that mean? I am standing, I'm going to continue to stand, and I don't plan to ever do anything but stand. I'm not going to be moved. Devil, you're not going to move me no matter what the problem is, no matter what the circumstance, no matter how much pressure you apply to me, I am not moving, I'm going to stand. The psalmist said in verse 2 that the earth can be moved. He said the mountains can be carried into the midst of the sea and dropped there. He said that the waters, the seas, can roar and be troubled, and the mountains can shake and not stand. But God is in the midst of my life. And even though the whole earth shakes, and even though every high mountain, which we would think would be the most permanent object that we could think of on the face of the earth, even though they move, there is a place in God where I cannot be moved. Where everything around me is moving, except me. I'm standing. Verse number 6 says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. You see, even the unbelievers will rage, and they will not be able to stand in the evil day. They will be moved. They will lose their battle, but I won't lose mine. I'm going to come out a winner. I'm not going to be moved. I'm going to stand. If you look back up with me at the 5th verse once again, it says, God shall help her. That's us. And that right early. The word early is an interesting word in the Hebrew. It means morning or dawn or at the breaking of day. And it says to me that God will help me from the very beginning of my trouble. That no matter what it is that has attached itself to my life or has come against my life or my situation, that God is there with me right from the beginning. God will help me early. God's not helping me. We like to say God's an 11:59 God, and he shows up just at the last minute. That's not really true. He's been there all the time. He comes right at the beginning of that trouble. God's right in the midst of us. And we don't see his hand until 11:59, but that doesn't mean that he's not there, you see. God's in the midst of her, and he will help her. And that right early, that right at the beginning, and because of that, she shall not be moved. The dwelling place of God, we found out last week, was where? In us. And because of that, we will not be moved. Let's read on. Verse 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. What does Selah mean? Pause and think on that just a moment. Meditate on that. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. Do you know what that means? It's God that changes the circumstances. I don't have to break the bow. I don't have to break the spear. He does it. Paul said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The psalmist says, God is my refuge and my strength. I don't have to break that enemy circumstance. I don't have to change that. He'll change it. The only thing I have to do is stand in the middle of it and not be moved. If I'll stand, he'll change the circumstances for me. He burneth the chariot in the fire. I don't have to light the match. I don't even have to get a hold of the chariot and throw it in the fire. All I have to do is what? Stand. and he will see that the chariot is burned. Verse 10 is an interesting verse. What does it say? What does it say? First two words, what does it say?
Be still.
Be still. Now, what does that mean? Stand. Paul would say how? Stand. The psalmist says, be still. Paul says, stand. What's this struggle? Why, when we're wrestling, are we struggling so? Why are our prayers filled with such anxiety? Hebrews chapter 4 says, there is therefore a rest for the people of God. Therefore, what are we supposed to work to do? Enter into his rest. We're not supposed to labor to change our circumstances. We're not supposed to labor to solve the problems. We're to labor to do what? Enter into his rest. We're to labor to learn how to rest in God. We're to labor to learn to know how to stand. We're to labor to know how to be still, knowing that I'm God. And I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Isaiah chapter number 30. Another verse on that subject. We'll catch this in passing. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 7. Israel was under siege. They were under attack, surrounded by an enemy. They decided, well, I know how we'll take care of this. We'll go down to Egypt and we'll get Pharaoh and Pharaoh's chariots and his armies, and they will help us. Israel said, we have got to solve our own problems. How many of you have ever heard this? I shouldn't ask you how many. I know you all have. God helps those. Complete it for me. What chapter and verse is that? That's according to the book of Isaiah. Yes, thank you. It's not in this book. It's not in this book. God doesn't help those who help themselves. Those who are helping themselves are their own God. God helps those who trust in him. That's what this book says. And so here's Israel now. They are in desperate circumstances. They've got a major problem. And they've decided, well, we need to solve this problem. We need to change these circumstances. They forgot the lesson of Jehoshaphat. They forgot the lesson of the great men of old who trusted in the Lord and said, Lord, we can't do anything unless you help us and watch God do great miracles. They said, we've got to go down to Egypt and get Pharaoh to send his armies and his chariots up here to help us. Otherwise, we're dead ducks. And here's God's answer to them in verse number 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to what? How would Paul say that?
Amen.
Amen. Where does strength come from in the Christian walk? It comes from standing firm. It comes from refusing to be moved. Doesn't it frustrate you when you're trying to manipulate someone and they just won't manipulate? You're trying to get them to do something that you want them to do and they just won't move. Doesn't it get your goat? Gets the devil's too. When he can't move you, it just eats him up on the inside. Hallelujah's right. I love it. I want him to be tormented. I want him tormented. Now, beloved, we must understand this. The victory is won when you're standing firm and refusing to be moved. The victory is not won when the circumstances change. The victory is won when you decide to stand and refuse to move. Because the outcome is sure. It's sure. If we stand in that evil day, God will move him. We don't have to be moved. Now, let's go over to 2 Corinthians just a moment. 12th chapter. Someone may be asking this morning, where do I stand? Move from what? What am I supposed to stand on? Where am I supposed to put my feet down and not move? What are you supposed to stand on, beloved? The Word of God. The devil wants to move you off of the Word of God. He wants to move you off of the promises of God. He wants to move you out of that realm where God has given you a promise. You're standing in faith believing. If he can move you off of that, then he can destroy you. If you stand on the promise, if you stand on the Word of God, he cannot move you. He cannot produce in your life the threats that the circumstance is bringing your way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the 7th verse, Paul said, I've had great revelations, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of those revelations, there was given to me, not by God, but by the devil, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Who sent this? Satan sent this. God didn't send it. To buffet me. Who's buffeting him? God or Satan? Satan is buffeting him. Now, see, he understood what he was talking about. He knew about the evil day. He knew about putting on the armor of God. He knew about wrestling against principalities and powers. It wasn't the devil that threw him over the wall and it wasn't the devil that threw the stones at him and left him for dead. It wasn't the devil that whipped him 39 stripes three times. It wasn't the devil that left him in the deep. It was men that did that. But he knew it was the devil behind those men. And so he said here, it was the devil sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. What did the devil want to prevent? He wanted to prevent Paul from recognizing fully who he was in the Lord. He wanted to prevent Paul from ever acting upon the things that God had revealed to him. He wanted, you will hear it preached, that God wanted to keep him humble. That's not true. The devil wanted to keep him beaten down. And that's exactly what he's trying to do to you. For this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Paul was trying to change the circumstances, wasn't he? He was trying to solve the problem. He said, God, I want this persecution to stop. I want these people to stop throwing rocks. I want to stop going to jail. I want to stop being hungry. I want the devil to quit this. I want to solve the problem. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect not when you're trying to change the circumstances, but when you're standing. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I rather glory in my infirmities or my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest in me. You see, when we stand and the problem gets solved, who gets the credit? God gets the credit. When we change the circumstance and when we solve the problem, who gets the credit? We do. And who gets puffed up? And who gets the praise? Look what I did. And everybody says, boy, that's terrific what you did there, brother. That was really great. That's not God's purpose in us. God's purpose is to exalt himself, not us. And so when we simply stand and the problem gets solved, then who gets the praise? I watched you through that, sister. That's amazing. God has done a miracle in your life, hasn't he? That's what the Lord wants. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in my weaknesses. How many times has the devil said to you, you must do something? You must do something. Even if it's wrong, dummy, do something. Don't you listen to that. Don't you listen to that. That is the devil's panic button. And he's trying to get you to respond to it. When you get pressure like that, that's not God. That's not in God. God says, be still and know that I'm God. Your strength is to stand still and know that I'm God. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. What is Paul saying? When I am doing the least in terms of working in my own strength, that's when I'm the strongest. Why? Because it's God's strength that is working in me. Now let's turn over to the book of Hebrews. 12th chapter. Paul said, if I may paraphrase him, or if I may read between the lines, my victory was not in my deliverance. My victory was in my resolve to stand. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning to read in the 25th verse. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, talking about God. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now, what is the apostle saying here? That there are some things that are unshakable, but everything else is going to be shaken. You can make book on it. So that which is unshakable will be clearly seen. Verse 28, wherefore we, receiving a kingdom, which what? Cannot be moved. What is there on the earth which is unshakable? It's the kingdom of God and all of that which is a part of the kingdom of God. Everything is going to be shaken except that which is involved in the kingdom of God. And if you'll hang on to the kingdom of God and that which is a part of the kingdom of God, you won't have to shake. But baby, if you let go, you're going to shake, rattle, and roll. That's the way it works. And that's the way it's going to happen. And there are a great many Christians that are shaken and rattling and rolling today. That's not God's plan. That's not God's purpose. But they're not playing the game according to the rules that God laid down. He said you can stand. You don't have to be shaken. Even though the mountains are moved, the earth rattles, the waves roar, you don't have to. Everything's going to be shaken except that which is tied to the kingdom of God. In 1 Timothy 6 and 12, we're told to fight the good fight of faith. Our fight is to maintain faith. I'm going to say that again. Our fight is to maintain faith. In the same way that our labor is to enter into his rest, our fight is to maintain faith. Stand, therefore, Paul said in Colossians 1 and 23, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. What's the gospel? What is the gospel? What's a synonym for the phrase gospel? Good news or the word? The word. Be not moved away from the hope of God's word, which you have heard. For when you're standing, you see, you're winning. Victory is assured for you. Once you have the promise of God, don't you move from it, no matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what it looks like. Once you have God's word, once you have the promise of God, either from the book or from the rhema word of God that he's given you in your spirit, don't move from it. If you'll stand on that word, you will win, and you can stand there. Final reference this morning is in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and this, I think, sums up what I've been trying to say today. The Lord's been showing me in my own life and in my own circumstances that it is not necessary for me to alter my circumstances. It is not necessary for me to solve the problem. It is not necessary for me to sum up all of my mental and intellectual skill and strength and decide on a solution that would be the right way to go. It is only my responsibility to find the promise in the Word of God and anchor to it and stand there and refuse to be moved. Now, I'll tell you something that happens from time to time, and I've seen this happen in my own life, and perhaps you can relate to it as well. When the devil cannot move you, by increasing the degree of the attack, here comes an evil day. Here comes a negative circumstance into your life. Bad news of one type or another. a circumstantial situation which is very negative, very distressing, one that is causing you a great deal of fear and anxiety, or at least could. You go to the Word of God, or in prayer you go to the Lord Himself. Either way, you're going to the Lord, and you obtain the promise of God, you obtain the Word of God, and you see the promise and you're standing on it firm. He cranks up the temperature. He cranks up the pressure. And He's trying to what? Do what? He's trying to move you. He's trying to move you. He's trying to get you to quit, or He's trying to get you to alter things. He's trying to get you to battle Him in the realm of the sensual and the circumstantial. He's trying to get you to do something that's over in His realm, rather than to stand on the Word of God in the spirit realm where you can have victory. He's trying to get you over into the circumstantial realm. He's trying to get you to get in there and dig around with it and say, well, maybe I can do this, and well, maybe we ought to do this, and maybe that's the right way to do it, and maybe this is the thing we ought to do. And when He can't get you to do that by cranking up the pressure, what does He do? He brings along to you a very attractive solution. He sends across your path an idea that is perfect. And it'll just looks as if it will just work great. This is the right thing to do. This will solve my problem. This will change my circumstances. But do you know what you're doing? You're moving. You're moving. You're moving. And the minute you move, you're what? You're done. You're done. If you're going to stand on the Word, you stand on the Word. You don't stand on the circumstances, either bad or good. Are you listening to me? That's very important. It's very important that you get a hold of that, because the devil will trick you. He'll deceive you, and he will snare you. When you move out of the realm of faith and move over into the realm of the circumstantial, you're in trouble. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed or happy or fortunate or prosperous is the man that endureth temptation. Now, the word endureth there literally means, if you don't have this in the margin of your Bible, would you please write this in? It literally means holds his ground or stands his ground. The word temptation means trials, troubles, difficulties, circumstantial problems. Blessed, happy, prosperous, and fortunate is the man that stands his ground during the time he's tested or tried. For when he is tried, or when he experiences these trials, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Victory is obtainable in all of life's circumstances, but it may only be ours if we will stand firm and be not moved from the hope that the Word of God gives to us. Paul said, therefore, stand. Put the armor of God on and stand. Refuse to be moved. Take the promise, anchor to it, and refuse to move off of it, no matter what happens. May I ask you to stand, please? As the musicians come, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads for a word of prayer. Father, first of all, today we want to thank You for the Word of God, for the sure and certain rock of Your Word. For we know that heaven and earth will pass away, and everything that's in them. But Jesus said, "My words shall never pass away." In another place He said, "Heaven and earth shall fail, but not one jot or tittle of My word shall ever fail." Father, we're grateful this morning that You have given us a means by which we may stand and we may find rest, no matter what's occurring around us. We thank you, Father, that it is not necessary for us to be in control of the circumstances or for us to solve problems that are too high for us. But you have provided a means of waging warfare which does not involve carnal or worldly weapons. You said the weapons of our warfare are not, in fact, carnal, but they are indeed mighty through God. And so we see here today that our strength is to stand still and know that you're God, to acknowledge that you're in the midst of us, to confess and to believe that you are our strength and that we are strong in the power of our God. I pray today, Father, for any person who's in this congregation who may be right now in the midst of temptation, in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of difficult circumstances, regardless of their nature. I pray, Father, that you will encourage each of our hearts today to know that victory is assuredly ours when we will find the promise in your word and stand firm upon it and shake our finger in the devil's face when he comes and say to him point blank, "Devil, I shall not be moved. I am standing on God's promise, and I know he is faithful, the one who promised that he will also do it. If not today, then tomorrow. If not tomorrow, then some other time. But yet, just as the three Hebrew children said, our God will deliver us, but if he doesn't, we refuse to bow down and worship your idol, King. We'll not do it. We're going to stand." And Father, help us to see that when we fight the good fight of faith in that forthright way, that when we do have to go into the furnace, and we may, you'll be right there in the middle with us. And when we come out, we won't even smell like smoke, let alone be burned. Help us, Father, not to fear the fire, not to fear the furnace, not to fear anything, but to stand firm and to trust in your strength and in your power, that you'd be glorified, that your Son would be exalted and held high in the presence of all men, and that thereby he would be able to draw all of these men unto himself. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful message this morning. Thank you for the encouragement that it is to our hearts.